with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we're talking a little bit about maybe some campfire cooking that you're gonna do either this weekend or the official transition from summer to fall is next weekend with that big Labor Day, and there's a lot of camping and cooking going on at that time, too. So we put the beets in the Dutch oven pretty good on that last segment. And Barbecue Bob, you got some tips and techniques for campfire methods you want to talk about, right?
Well, sure. And I also want to give a shout-out to all the 98.5 UPS listeners.
Oh, yeah. Covering the North for us.
I have got a lot of text messages last weekend. Of course, I went to middle school and high school in Reed City, Michigan, and UPS just blankets the North with that big 100,000-watt blowtorch. And a lot of my friends are 98.5 fans. So they were texting me talking about things you and I were talking about the show.
Sure.
Hey, I heard you're not coming up. I heard you're having a pool party, yada, yada.
Right.
So many thanks to the Twister and UPS. You guys do a great job up there. And, of course, our other affiliates, JIM and all these other stations around the state that replay our show.
Sure, man. Sure.
So, campfire methods. I guess I found a really cool way to do it by Big Ted up at Whipple. My friend Ted Baucamp's dad.
Oh, that's Ted?
That's Big Ted.
I don't know. The Ted that's up there now is a big guy, too.
Well, he's like his dad. So, easy. So, Big Ted had some stories.
Yeah.
He had some stories of running the roads at night through Idlewild and this and that, and the cops stopping him and making him dump beers out. And he was a hoot.
Back in the day when you could do that. Yeah. And you didn't go to jail, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, Big Ted, he was a heavy equipment mechanic for Dykema, or an operator, I think. But he was a smart guy, and he just came up with this thing where he got some re-rod, and then he got some tubular steel. I'm going to say it's square tubular, and he got like 4-foot chunks of it, and then he bent the ends at a 90.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he did it because they're beautiful bends. Maybe he found these pieces built for something that way. Either way, we got these two long rods, and he put this re-rod or sucker rod in the ground, and this tubular sits over those.
That's what those were. We put beer cans on them so my dog wouldn't tear her belly up running by them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then he got a piece of like this stainless that was honeycomb, something like Dews would cut.
Right.
Dewsma would cut. It's just a piece of stainless with a million holes in it, you know, CNC'd. Yep. And so we have this big sheet of stainless. So we put these two racks down. We build a fire. And when it's time to eat, we just throw that stainless on there. And
over the fire and the coals.
Throw our meat right on there, and it's,
it's like a big griddle.
It's groovy, baby.
Yeah.
It's that. So when you talk about methods, there's a whole bunch of methods. You can home make a method. You know,
you can just
do something like that.
Right. And that's a, I think when you do that, you don't ever want your meat right over where the flames are licking the bottom of it too often.
Have a shovel.
You're right. You want to be around the perimeter. You're going to get the heat, but you don't want that ultra sear that's going to come from the flames themselves.
Right. So have a shovel and be ready to pull some coals over to your cooking area.
Right.
And so if you have a big enough fire area, just put your cooking area on one end of it and take your shovel, get in there and shovel in some coals, and you're good to go.
Right.
You just want the coals.
Right. Exactly.
Shovel.
And you can hang those tripods over top of your fire too. And on the side, maybe just you put half over your fire, and you can hang whole chickens on there, and you truss them, right, with butcher twine.
Do you pluck them
first? And then
you just
hang, and then, come on. And but you can let those things hang there, and they'll cook
gallows.
With that radiant heat is amazing from the coals on a fire.
Yes.
You don't need to be over the fire.
No.
You just need to be close to it.
Right.
And as long as your meat is rotating, you're not going to get it overdone on one side and raw on the other. It's simple.
Yeah, and you don't even have to have a rotisserie. you can simply have your rotisserie bar and get a couple of sticks, literally carve out some green wood and find a couple forked sticks, pound them in the ground on the end of your fire, throw your stainless rod across there and put your meat on there and rotate it manually every 10, 15 minutes because you're going to be dinking around with the fire all afternoon anyway, right?
Right.
You're just hanging out, having beers because if you're responsible for cooking, it's an excuse to have a beer.
All right. So word to the wise on that is that if you get these two branches with the Y in them, get them maybe as big around as your wrist. Don't get little ones because that thing
they'll
can
dry
tip.
Out. They'll dry out,
but they'll tip. You got to drive them into the ground long enough, and they got to be heavy enough to hold the meat that you've got on the skewer because if it tips over, you're in the dirt or you're in the fire, neither one are good.
Ah, dirt doesn't hurt anybody.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned tripods. Now, when I bought that big Dutch oven, I've got Darlene Lancaster, who used to go to church with us when her husband passed. She sold a bunch of their camping gear, right?
Right.
And she mentioned that in, like, Facebook or something, and I went right over there because it was the big, authentic lodge. And those came with a tripod with the pulley and the hook.
Right.
And that's a really nice tripod. So I have a couple tripods because we had that Bourne Adventures or whatever it was. Give us one. And but that's a
not us. You got one.
You didn't get one?
I did not.
Well, you wouldn't use it anyway.
Right. Okay, yeah, good.
Can't use it.
Cover your tracks.
Can't use it at the Holiday Inn. So tripods, of course, everybody knows what they are. They're great. They're handy. The one I'm intrigued with, and I still don't own, so if you make them and you're listening, send us one. It's the rod that you pound in the ground next to your fire and has all the different devices that pivot around over your fire.
Oh,
one's a grate, one's a hook, one's a griddle.
It's a single rod, and they're stacked up on there, and they swing, they pivot on this rod.
Right.
Right, and you swing them out over the fire, and otherwise they're away.
You have to have a little handheld sledge to drive that rod into the ground.
But yeah, because it might be 2 inches, but it's holding a lot of weight.
It is.
Yeah.
You're going to go in a couple feet when you go in with that.
Right.
You're going to be leveraged with a lot of weight on it.
Yeah.
Especially if you have the skillet one out there. They even have a big skillet on one of them.
Right.
Where you put this for breakfast.
Right.
Kind of nice.
Yeah. Cool way.
I know.
Cool way to cook over the fire.
That's an awesome one. And then, of course, the homemade one is kind of the one like Ted built. But you wanted to mention before the battery rotisserie.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of rotisserie food. You know, we had that Epicure grill.
Epicoa.
Or Epicoa, thank you. Epicure, yeah. Epicoa grill, which we used in tailgates. It's a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, when the meat is moving, it's cooking easy, it's self-basting, and it allows it to get a little crispy on the outside. And I'm using fowl usually. I'm using a duck, or we've done chickens, turkey, all that kind of stuff on there. And as it rotates, and it's that, again, I'm not over the fire, I'm next to the fire, and it's that radiant heat, which is why the rotation helps it cook. And it's just such a great way because it's effortless. You put it on there and you just watch it, right? Great beer drinking grilling. Because you're just watching the thing, and you can tell if it's starting to burn or whatever, move some coals back away, or if it's not cooking fast enough, move some over a little closer. That's just a shovel is all that is.
And the nice thing is it's on the end of your fire, so all the grease dripping off of it is going into the dirt.
Right.
And it's not
great point.
Up.
So you got no flare-ups, right. So nothing gets burned, and it's easy to do, and it's a little bit of a spectacle. I mean, you know what? Part of the reason that
it's
you and
very
I enjoy,
much a spectacle.
Right. Part of the reason that you and I enjoy outside is that it's like you get a little, wow, look at that. That's pretty cool. And this is a way to do it.
So this group we go up with on Labor Day weekend every year, the guy that turned me on to the battery-powered rotisseries is John Bononi.
Okay.
And he does this every year. He has the big battery-powered. And I had never seen one until like 10 years ago when we started going up there. I thought they all had to plug in. Well, so he's famous for doing his chicken on this battery rotisserie.
Right.
He's also famous for serving it around 9 o'clock at night.
So his planning maybe could use a little work.
No, because, actually it works out perfect because we've already eaten 2 or 3 hours earlier, And by the time his chicken's done, we're all ready for a second grazing.
All right.
So it kind of works out well.
Right. Coming up next, walk your taco over to the hash. Stick with us. We'll be back. That's when I make my food.